This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Whether you're a duck or whether you're a beaver, your fantasy team needs a new receiver. It's Danny and Dusty at lunchtime every day. Maybe you're a tortured fan of Rip City. Danny and Dusty are here to take pity, hoping there's not a center with bad knees on the way. Talking noon till 3, Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Yep, I'm singing again, 'cause they haven't said I can't. Danny and Dusty love the teams the rest of us revile. Raising a Blazers banner would make it all worthwhile. Noon till 3.
An Odyssey station.
Hour number 2, Danny and Dusty with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours. 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2. The Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080 AM, the Fan. And the party people on the party place, youtube.com/1080 AM, the Fan. Let's get it. All right, hour number 2, I want to start this. We were talking yesterday a lot about the Portland Trailblazers, Joe Cronin, Chauncey Billups, and the rest of the team.
No, we weren't.
Took the podium. And they talked about the season, the future, and everything in between. And it got me to thinking, where we were at the beginning of this year, you go back to October, and where we would have said, all right, let's rank this Blazers roster in order of importance, top to bottom. Moving forward, direction of the franchise, who would those guys be? And as I was going through that in my head, I said, boy, this feels a lot different coming out of the season as to direction of the franchise, moving forward, who the most important individuals on the roster are.
And that's why I said if you came out of this year and you're sitting here saying that Billups didn't do this or the front office didn't do this, it's like things are drastically different than they were less than a calendar year ago. Going into last year, Anthony Simons, DeAndre Ayton, Jeremy Grant meant a lot to this team. And if you weren't getting something from them because you didn't have the consistency, you didn't have the things you could count on from those other guys, you were going to get mopped.
Yeah.
That was just the reality. Now, going into next season, none of those three players is the most important player for you.
No. I want to take out some guys as we're doing this. Like, we don't need to do Justin Manaya or City Sissoko or Bryce McGowan's, you know, the Delano Banton, right? No, we can take those guys. Duop Reith is out. All right, but let's look at, I mean, top nine.
Okay.
We go top nine on this roster in where we are with these guys, or 10.
So, I will start this by outlining my team building philosophy. A lot of it has to do with scarcity and scarcity of assets, right? The name of the game is score more points than the other team. But everybody's like, oh, shooting, 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 shooting. shooting has become this thing where, yeah, you need it. There's no doubt about it. But it's a lot more readily available than it was years ago. Shooting used to be this skill that was siloed, right? You had to, like, go identify, like, this guy is your shooter. I think shooting as a whole has just gotten better in the NBA, not only from three, but just in general.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not quite as high on my pecking order. For me, the most scarce asset in the NBA is playmaking with size. Number one, jumbo creators. That's your Giannis's, your LeBron's, your Luka's. Like, you look around the NBA, Tatum, the best players in the NBA are playmakers with size,
mm-hmm.
hands down. So to me, number one is Deni Avdija. 6'9", 245-pound freight train that is always going downhill. To me, the best players in the NBA are the guys who live at the rim. And with the exception, the nod to Steph and Dame. Like, you're talking about generational floor stretchers. Other than a handful of guys, stars are made at the rim. As much as we talk about the three-point line and being able to shoot and all that kind of stuff.
No, it's always, that's what accents the complete package, which is ability to get to the rim.
Consistently and create. Finish and yeah. create.
Okay.
Deni has, the insane thing about Deni is he is that guy, but he does have room to grow. He can tighten things up. He can be a better playmaker. He can be better left-handed. He can be better with his turnovers. He can add the little push shot, mid-range pull-up floater, like in between when guys are taking away the deceleration move. Like, those are all things that he mentioned even in the post-game, the exit interview. He was very specific on the things that he's going to work on this offseason. But for me, he's the number one guy. Where I think for a lot of people it gets interesting is at number two. And as I caveat all this to begin with, the game is about scoring more than the opponent. So for me, number two is Shaedon Sharpe.
Oh.
And as much as I love two, and should shock nobody, two will be number three. But Shaedon at number two because they need to be able to score. And again, stars are made at the rim. He has got to improve as a three-point shooter. 31% is not going to do it.
No.
And I actually
believe he's got to stay healthy.
To which, we didn't talk about it. During his exit interview, he talked about his shoulder. I asked him, are you going to have that shoulder worked on in the offseason? He goes, I don't know. We haven't even talked about that yet, which didn't like that answer. That set off a few alarm bells in my head of like, he's going to have that shoulder scope this offseason for sure. Again, I'm not reporting anything. That was just the first thing my brain went to of like, you've talked to somebody about that. You've been dealing with your shoulder since you heard it. So, but I think Shaedon can definitely improve to be a three-point shooter. Like, 31% is just not sustainable. It's not okay. And I think a lot of that has to do with his footwork is junk at times. It just completely falls apart, and he thinks, because I'm such a great athlete, I'm so on balance that I can just chuck up whatever and it might go in. He needs to refine that, and he can, because when he puts it together, it's a beautiful jump shot.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't have the consistency to keep it together. Number three, Tumani. What do you need to say? He's the heartbeat of the team. That's what he is. He is the heart and soul of the team. He is where the defense emanates from. He is the hard hat guy. He is the grinder. He is the guy that's going to dive. He's diving on the floor in game 82 against the Lakers for a loose ball in a game that does not matter.
Yeah.
He's a lunatic. And I think he's your tone setter. Number four, I think, is going to maybe catch some people off guard. I'm going to say it's Anthony Simons because, as I just said, shooting is so important. He is the only shooter they have on the team. A guy that can create his own shot all over the floor.
Yeah. I think the question is, how long is Anthony Simons in Portland mm-hmm. for? And that's a legitimate yes. question. This has been raised not just this past year, but
last two years
mm-hmm. is Anthony Simons going to be somebody who is long for the Portland Trailblazers mm-hmm. rebuild?
And that'll be interesting to see what happens on May 12th.
Yeah.
Because I'll say this now. If the unthinkable happens and the math works out in Portland's favor, and they land Cooper Flagg.
Dude, that's not the unthinkable. I've thought about it all the time.
I know. I try not to think about it because it's just...
I think about it.
Anthony Simons is the best point guard for that team, hands down. Because if you're talking about a team, you're going to move two down to the two, Cooper to the three, Deni to the four, Klingon to the five. You have to have shooting at the one. You have to. And look, Scoot might be that guy, but you need a guy Chauncey Billups said it multiple times in his exit interview. Ant sees defensive coverages that 90% of the NBA don't see. He sees two pretty much every single time he's on the ball. They are trapping him at 40 feet. It's not because they think he sucks. It's because he's that good offensively. Now, he's got his defensive limitations. He knows that. But the gravity that he has when he's on the floor, even when he's not shooting well, teams do not want him to get loose because of what he can do. And that is a thing. If the Blazers don't have that, they suffer drastically. I mean, from the games he's not in, you can see the shooting stuff fall away and how much room guys have to operate.
For sure.
Denny Avdia doesn't have driving lanes when Ant's not on the floor. Like, that's it becomes harder for him. Number five, it's a coin toss for me between Donovan Klingon and Scoot Henderson. And so much of that is dependent on what happens on May 12th. And I hate that that's the reality, but it is. Because I look at that, Donovan Klingon's defense this year ended up being better than I anticipated.
Fifth in the NBA in blocks per game.
He's and his defensive rebound rate, or not his defensive rebound rate, his defensive field goal percentage, which is a little skewed, according to Second Spectrum, I believe he finished fifth.
Well, and they protected him a lot over the course of the season, not putting him in unfavorable matchups. I mean, they really did. Well, he would not play in games where he was going up against a dominant scoring big early, especially early in the year.
Well, and they also they put him in drop a lot. And again, with something we didn't talk about from the press conference, did you hear what Donovan said about this year?
Mm-mm.
He admitted to being out of shape, particularly with the, after the MCL injury. And I saw a bunch of people get mad at me because I said he wasn't in shape. And like, oh, no, Chauncey Billups is not playing. Guys, he wasn't in shape. He wasn't. He put on weight when he got hurt. And I talked to folks that talked to the UConn staff. That was something they had to focus on him there with. He's not lazy. He's just a kid. Like, doesn't eat. I'll tell you this. Most young NBA players, their diets suck.
Yeah, I'm going to put Donovan in at five ahead of Scoot just because of no matter what, he is going to be a part of this organization moving forward. Yes. And you cannot say the same for Scoot Henderson, you know, because you mentioned it, Anthony Simons. If they get a guy like Cooper Flagg,
you got to have the shooting.
Then you got to have the shooting.
And the not just 3-point shooting, self-created shooting.
Yeah.
And Ant is the only guy on this team who has consistently shown that he can create his own shot at all three levels and be efficient at it.
So number six is Scoot?
Scoot.
Okay.
And look, this could change if all of a sudden Scoot is an off-the-bounce self-creator.
And he's gotten a lot better. Shooting was a huge hole. He's gotten a lot better at that. He's got to continue to develop and work on his game, but I think people forget he's going to be entering his third year as still a puppy. You know, he is super young. He's going to be, 21 years old? He'll turn 21 during his third year of the NBA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, 22.
22.
In February, because he just turned 21.
Oh, that's right.
But, I mean, yeah, you look at where these guys all kind of sit into this. There's a question of growth and fit for almost everyone. That's the interesting thing. When you get down to 6, 7, 8, so much of it depends on this summer, right? Like you look at it and you go, I'm almost tempted to put Matisse Thybulle at 6.
Oh, okay.
The level of basketball that he played in his final 15 games, it was, I mentioned this during the press conference to him when I asked him a question. I'm like, to me, man, it looks like you've played the freest and best basketball of your career over these last 15 games. Am I crazy or is that something that you feel? And he said, no, absolutely. And he mentioned how Chauncey Billups and the training staff and the support staff found ways to keep him so engaged. And talking to Roy Rogers, the defensive coach, about how all the different lineups that they could put him in and how versatile he could be. Cause we never got to see Tease and two on the floor at the same time.
Right.
I mean, we did in the very end,
last two games,
but I'm talking about with the rest of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested in that because if you're talking about the identity of this team being defense, who's the first guy you think about?
Tumani Kamara.
And then
Matisse Thybulle.
And yet you didn't get to see that deployed with the rest of the guys.
Yeah.
And so I look at that and I go, it's not the biggest swing thing, but boy, if all of a sudden Tease is a 37, 38% shooter from three, which it looks like he might be like a viable three-point shooter, which is a crazy thing when you consider where he came from. But looking at him, I go, he's a guy that could be a swing for these guys in those second units. Because if he's more than just a next action guy, if he's attacking the rim occasionally on closeouts, he's being disruptive defensively, he's being a connector offensively, like all the little dials are just turned up and trying to maximize a role player, that's a pretty big deal. After that, I think it's pretty easy. It's Chris Murray.
Oh.
And the reason I'm saying Chris over Jeremy and DA is because I think Jeremy is probably gone.
Yeah.
I would be pretty... You don't believe it until it happens, but I'd be pretty stunned if Jeremy wasn't here.
Hardest part is going to be what is the return going to be when he's got $109 million left on his deal?
And the same thing for DA. I think the Blazers are going to make a hard decision this summer. And I think they're going to opt to go with Donovan, which I don't know how well it's going to go over with DA. He's in a contract here.
Is that really a hard decision?
Well, no.
DeAndre Ayton played really well.
DA's a better player. Full stop. He's a better player.
Yeah, but you're talking about a guy on an expiring deal.
That's the thing, though. That's where the issue arises. How much of a problem is it for DA? Because he's going into a contract here. That's why it's hard.
Well, I know. But, I mean, if you make that decision, you're not going to keep the vet around. You got to ship him out.
You have to find some way to do it, right? But, again, that's the interesting part of that. Now, the next guy on this list would be higher up, but it's the injuries. It's Rob. Because they made the choice to keep him, and they didn't deal him.
Jeremy at nine Rob after Chris Murray?
I have Rob after Chris.
All right, Robert Williams.
And that's solely because of the injuries.
Okay.
You just don't know.
Yep.
Otherwise, Rob's probably six on this list for me because his impact is so great. So that's your eight, basically, is DA kind of slots in at eight. And I look at that and I go, that's pretty good, but you're still missing something.
Well, we're at nine.
With what?
With Robert Williams. He's nine.
Okay, so that's your nine. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah, and then you have DeAndre Ayton and Jeremy Grant kind of at 10A and 10B, huh?
And it's not because I don't think they're good. It's because I don't think they're long for. And as much as people say that about Anthony, there's a world where I can see Anthony staying here.
Absolutely.
Because of what he does. Nobody else on the roster can do.
Boy, I think, and this is exactly kind of the direction. Some of them were different than what I was thinking in my brain. Mm-hmm. But if you were to go back at the beginning of the year, you would have said it was Anthony Simons, mm-hmm. Jeremy Grant, DeAndre Ayton. And then you would get into, all right, where's this question
mark?
Who's
the next guy?
Who's going to be the next guy? Is it going to be Scoot? Is it going to be Donovan? But as we roll out of it, you have number one, Denny Avdia. Number two, Shaedon Sharpe. Number three, Tumani Kamara. Number four, Anthony Simons. Number five, Donovan Clingan. By the way, Simons would have started this year at number one. He is at four. Five is Donovan Clingan. Six is Scoot Henderson. Seven, Matisse Thybulle. Eight, Chris Murray. Nine, Robert Williams III. And then DeAndre Ayton and Jeremy Grant, just because of the uncertainty about their future here in Portland.
Yes, and both those guys would be higher, but...
Based on the importance moving forward, though,
I'm talking about going forward.
Yeah,
that's where I factor this.
Boy, it's a big shift and a big change. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's still, when you go through this, there's still a million question marks. There are a million question marks in there. Like number two is Shaedon Sharpe,
mm-hmm.
who cannot shoot well and cannot stay healthy. That's number two,
well,
right?
Scoot is the guy who's actually more injury prone even than Shaedon.
Yeah,
through his first 2 years, Scoot has picked up a lot of knocks. Shaedon, the injury that he had was the core muscle injury. That's the real injury.
Now, yeah,
the shoulder's a problem because he had it his rookie year at first, and they dealt with it, and then he had the shoulder this year, but he only missed a couple games for the shoulder.
Well, a couple of games at the beginning of the year because it was. In training camp,
yes,
that he missed all of.
Oh, yeah, but otherwise, Shaedon's been pretty damn healthy this year.
Yeah, all right.
Scoot, though, Scoot has got injuries top to bottom.
Yeah,
That's the thing. It's like, if you look at Scoot in the G League, same issue.
Yeah.
Like, I'm starting to wonder if Scoot's a 65, 70, 70 game guy just because of his size.
The other question here is, if you were to say importance versus who are the ranked the most dependable, I think then that list even changes more, because then it would go like Denny.
Two. Tease until this year.
Yeah. I mean, and then it's Murray. Like, that is also the inherent question mark around this organization is you have nothing you can depend on, really. Yeah. And nothing that you can lean on and say, this is our anchor.
Yeah.
And for so many years, it was Damian Lillard, right? Mm-hmm. And also CJ McCollum.
Because CJ did not miss games.
Dude. No, he didn't.
No.
Dependable, reliable. You knew exactly what you were going to get every single night.
Once he got his feet squared away after his first 2 years in the league, because he dealt with that foot issue both at Lehigh and then here, it was his rookie year, I think he broke his foot.
It was
year two.
He had the Liz Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when he stopped going into the paint.
Yeah.
That's when he turned into the mid-range floater king.
All right. 503-864-6326. That is the Fan text line. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, Fan Text Line. We were going through, I had you rank based on importance. Moving forward for the franchise, each of the Portland Trail Blazers on roster. Your list goes as follows. Number one, Denny Avdia, Shaden Sharp, then Tumani Kamara, Anthony Simons, Donovan Klingon, Scoot Henderson, Matisse Thybulle, Chris Murray, Robert Williams, and then DeAndre Ayton and Jeremy Grant at 10, A and B, because their future is just up in the air here with the organization. Here are some of the texts that have come in. Let's see. Avdia, Sharp, Kamara equals Green, Thompson, Brooks.
Don't put Jalen Green on Avdia. Jalen, no.
Boy, those seem like far different players, but I think what he's saying is Rockets' future right there.
No, that's a pathway that we talked about that yesterday, that they're kind of going down, which is reminiscent of. Look, if you talk about the Chauncey Billups imprint, they kind of invented it. The group of really good players.
Yeah.
Without having one transcendent star. Now, they were.
You're talking about the Pistons?
Yeah.
Where every single one of them was an all-star?
Yeah, well, I mean, they were all an all-star. They weren't all-stars before, is what I'm saying. You know?
Yeah.
They were all all-stars because of how they played together.
Yeah, yeah. Here's one on Robert Williams. Robert Williams can't be counted on in any way. He's got to be last on the list. Second biggest failure besides too many wins this year was not moving on from a guy who only played in 25 games over two seasons before the trade deadline because you wanted too much. And then he gets a season-ending injury, the 26th game with the Blazers. Boy, his injury history was not good heading to Portland. It's gotten worse, and that is a really tough position to be in.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with him? Because he has zero trade value now.
Yeah, no, everything you do with him, it has to be a recoup at this point.
I mean,
yeah, that's what it is. You're just trying to recoup value.
Sheesh.
So that's why, as much as Rob may want to try to go somewhere, I'm not reporting that. I'm saying if he does,
yeah,
it's going to be hard to find something where a team doesn't just want to be like, yeah, we'll take a flyer on him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
God, there's just some mean texts that are coming in. Pretty funny. Kind of mean. All right. Moved on from CJ about 6 years too late. I got killed anytime I was trying to talk to other Blazer fans and said I thought they should move on for CJ if they ever wanted to increase their ceiling for years. And it was looked at like a pariah. Heard so many foolish comparisons to Steph and Clay. Clay was 6'8 and played elite defense. Dumbest backcourt comp ever. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't think that texture, believe me, you were not alone in the CJ, if you move off from CJ McCollum, but
he's right in the sense of the vitriol, because I wrote about it many times.
There were a lot of people that would say, no, you can't do it. And that was wrong. I thought it was wrong then, wrong now, because how the Blazers could have made a truly difference-making trade was moving off of CJ McCollum. And it has nothing to... It almost seems here... Well, this is actually not here. Every fan base does this. Like, if you bring up a guy and you say, hey, he's the guy that can bring something back in return, mm-hmm. it's like you're depreciating the person mm-hmm. of CJ McCollum, right? When it should have been looked at like, no, that's the ultimate compliment that you can give a guy is that, like, no, CJ had so much value for another team, and he could have brought a piece back to Portland.
That made more sense.
That gave the Blazers exactly what they were looking for, which is length. Length on the wing.
And there were multiple opportunities where that was available, where length on the wing was offered.
Yeah.
That's the frustration. Here's
they never moved on.
Here's a question for you. Is there anybody on this team right now that you wouldn't trade?
Is there anybody I would not trade?
And I'm not talking about like Jokic or SGA or Giannis or something like that. I'm just saying like in general.
No, right now? No. It depends on who it is.
I think there's only two candidates, if you're going to say that there are.
I would say right now, if you want to look at a core of guys that, because of their contracts especially, mm-hmm. it's Klingon, Two, and Denny. Those three guys are the guys. Three guys that I would want to hitch my wagon to moving forward. Just because for Donovan Klingon, you got him on a rookie deal. He's a big. You have to match salaries to go and come back in a trade. You need a big. 7-footers, good to have. Tumani Kamara, just because of what he does on both ends of the floor, and then Denny Avdija, because he likes it here too. Hey, he tweeted out yesterday, I love Portland.
It's amazing what happens when the sun comes out.
Yeah.
That man got here in late September.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't seen the sun in Portland.
No.
So he's like,
well, late September. We had a good October too. It was good. It was good
but
while he was
just
here.
Getting settled in though, yeah. man. Like he didn't get to enjoy it.
Yeah. This is it right there. Yeah. Everybody else, well, I mean, even those guys too, I'd be like, it may be Two and Denny.
Two and Denny are the only guys that I would. Hard pause for.
Yeah.
And it's even then, it's not a, if you're depending on the player, it's not a sheer no.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, there's a lot of folks that are, you know, Tumani Kamara is, you know, an older, young player in the league, right? But I don't necessarily see that as a bad thing because he's dirt cheap right now as a second round pick. And his market isn't going to be like a max deal type of guy.
No, the most money he can make, and I'm sure the Blazers and Tumani's reps will have a discussion, is a 4-year, $90 million deal.
Perfect.
Which if you're talking, again, that's the most that he could be extended for. And if you're telling me that I'm paying $23 million a year for Tumani Kamara, and the thing you have to remember, the difference between a guy like Two and Shaden is that you're paying for Two's prime years. You're not paying for more development. Like, if you gave Shaden a 4-year deal or a 5-year deal next year from his 22 to 27 years, you're getting maybe 3 years of the prime, but you're paying for more development. With Two, he is kind of who he is. Doesn't mean he can't get better, but you're looking at a guy that's probably going to be for the next 4 or 5 years a perennial all-defensive guy. So paying him 20-ish million dollars a year under the new cap, and much like the NFL, if you pay him now,
mm-hmm.
then you lock it in earlier as the cap goes up and the deal gets better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seems good, especially when you look at, 2025, 2026 NBA season. You are looking at Steph Curry will be making $59 million. Joel Embiid will be making $55. The 10th highest paid player in the NBA will be... Bradley Beal next year at $53 million.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at, you said 23 for him?
You'd say 22 and a half.
22 and a half. AAV. All right. That would be half of the salary of Fred VanVleet.
Yeah. Or if you want to look for the comp that the listener put in there, Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks this year made $22.25 million.
Yeah.
If I told you you could have Dylan Brooks or Tumani Kamara for the next 4 years at $22.5 million, which one would you rather have?
Tumani Kamara.
Okay.
Yeah. So you want to go 4 years down the road, so that'd be the 29-30 season?
And by the way, Dylan Brooks is 29 this year as opposed to 24.
The 2029 season, that will be the year Jason Tatum is making $71 million. $71 million.
And by the way, Dylan Brooks last year signed a four-year, $89 million deal. So you're basically giving him the Dylan Brooks deal.
Yeah. All right.
Which, if you're his agent, that's probably what you're angling for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We good.
I mean, that's to me, that's fair comp.
By the 28 season, that'll put him, he'll be in the Alex Caruso range. Mm-hmm.
And perfect. Again, yeah. Alex Caruso is 30 years old.
30 years old. All right.
So something to keep in mind. All right, come up on our worst day on the web. Have you ever had a significant other take a trip without you and you left a little aggrieved?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, somebody else did. And hell, I could have had this opportunity, but I didn't do it. But we'll get to that next on our worst day on the web. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
That sucks.
I can not sympathize with what this guy did, but the situation he was in.
Okay.
A young man, a 19-year-old, which, again, I can't sympathize with being that because that's a long time ago. His girlfriend and their family went on a cruise without him. Okay.
Okay. Wait, his girlfriend and his family her family? Okay. I was like, damn.
So he's apparently living with them.
Okay.
So again, for those wondering what the hell I'm talking about, my wife and mother-in-law went on a cruise without me a month ago through into Mexico for my mother-in-law's 70th birthday. And I gave my wife a fair amount of crap for it. Like, I want to go to the Gulf of America.
Boy, you're not playing that the right way. It's team say yes, have a great time. Everything was great at home.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you have a great time because then, guess what? You and the boys?
Mm.
You and the boys? Opens up some time there.
Trust me. That
team always say yes.
That shit is filed away. And she's like, so am I going with you to Vegas or Summer League this year? I go, no. No, you know you're not. So, we're going solo to Vegas this year.
There you go.
Have a little bit there more freedom, as it were.
Freedom.
But this guy, he sent in a bomb threat to the cruise line.
Okay, now you wonder why you weren't invited on the cruise. That's probably it. This is mom and dad sending you the purpose pitch that we don't really like you. We think that you should not be a part of this family.
They left them at home to watch their pets.
Yeah, that is exactly 100% why you were not invited on this trip. Mom and dad were right in
this. So the ship had to go to port.
What a...
Over 1,000 rooms were swept because they have to bring the bomb sniffer out.
Oh, my gosh.
I immediately went to, like, Fifth Element.
I know.
The bomb scene on Flossin's Paradise.
Yeah.
No. The bomb alarms would go off.
Man.
So the FBI was able to trace back his email address and...
He
emailed it. didn't even go buy a burner. Didn't even go buy a burner with cash.
Guy's an idiot.
Let this be a lesson, guys.
This guy's an idiot.
Find a old store that does not have security cameras everywhere.
The bodega.
Yes, and buy a burner with cash.
Yeah, boy.
This is not... Every time I see criminals get caught with stuff, I'm always just like, how?
Well...
How?
19-year-old, super jealous idiot that has literally ruined his life.
They have all the access in the world to this stuff.
I know.
Like, you've seen all the crime docs.
I know.
You all watch them.
No.
And yet they just
can't fix stupid, my man.
I mean, right? Yep. So the ship goes into port. They sweep over 1,000 rooms. They went into port in Jamaica, apparently. They traced the email back, and the statement came out in the court filing. Anyone making a bomb threat should be expected to be taken at his word. Fortunately, this particular hoax did not result in physical injury.
Mm-hmm.
He is sentenced to 8 months in prison for making the false threat. The offense carries a maximum penalty of up to 5 years.
Yeah. I have a feeling, you know, this kid feels like a moron.
He did admit fault, said, did not deny it, just... Took full blame, full responsibility. So at least there's that.
Well, at least there's that. But the tougher conversation here is his girlfriend's parents with his girlfriend being like,
what if she likes a bad boy and now she's even more into
it? You need to drop this loser immediately.
They got to be prison pen pals?
Oh, my gosh. And it's like, we've been warning you.
Mm-hmm.
We have been warning you time and time again.
I'm nearly certain. It doesn't say what the statute is. I'm nearly certain that's a felony.
Oh, it's got to be.
Mass endangerment?
Yeah. I bet you he was like, dude, I sent it to international waters, so it's not even, they were 15 miles off the coast, so there's no way.
But it originated in the U.S., Demi.
Moron.
Yeah.
Moron. Look, I guarantee you that was probably his line of thinking.
Well, if you did it in international waters.
Yeah.
Like if you had your own little ship out there.
Exactly. And that's where you sent your, from your dinghy,
mm-hmm.
Tommy Boy style,
yeah.
15 miles off the coast, just sitting there
sure
going.
Make sure it's not a registered vessel.
And all of a sudden, you're not in jail for eight months.
There's ways around this.
Man, this guy's dumb. And that's my worst fear, is my daughter dating an absolute moron.
Well, you saw what happened at Silverton High School, right?
No.
There was a swatting hoax.
Oh, yeah, that's just...
So they, like, I was over at K2 for...
You stupid or something.
One of the games, and... I saw the footage of like high schoolers walking out with their hands on their heads.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the cops have to take this stuff seriously.
Well, absolutely they do.
I mean,
absolutely they do.
I feel like that particular thing, the swatting thing, because you're sending in a special unit that is on tilt
and does not know who,
what, when, what, where,
like, where somebody pops out and the people that are there aren't expecting it. And so
they react erratically,
and
that ends up people getting shot.
That's how people die.
Yeah. I feel like that, like swatting somebody,
yeah,
should come with like a 10-year sentence.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because you are really in danger. And people are like, oh, those people are trained. Yeah, they are. They're trained for very rare, very high intense situations where,
damn,
a report comes in that says somebody has a firearm.
Yeah.
And it's holding people.
Yeah. Hmm.
And more often than not, in those situations, you're talking about neutralizing a threat.
Yeah, absolutely. Dang, so, that guy's an idiot. Where is he from?
Not Florida.
Not Florida?
I believe it said Michigan, if I'm not mistaken.
All
yes,
right.
Michigan.
All right. All right. Well, so, it's been a cold winter up there.
It was in January.
He's trying to get out and see the sun.
So while he was freezing his butt off in Michigan, the rest of the family, and he was watching the dogs.
Just be a normal 19-year-old and throw a party.
I'm having the in-laws,
what are we doing here?
Watch the dogs while wife and I go do our Mediterranean trip. I'm just going to give them the wrong cruise line.
I bet like I bet what set him off is like she started packing like the pineapple for the door, and he was like,
Wait, what is this?
What are you doing here?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
She was like, I'm going on a cruise.
Look, I'll let you know. They have those available for you when you get there.
Oh, they do?
You don't have to bring those.
Oh, really? They have those? Like, yeah, you can just pick one up and never...
They got little stores on board.
Really?
And not only that, you're going to port. You're in Jamaica.
Hot dang.
Come on now.
All right.
Well, speaking of people making rash and or dumb decisions, the New Orleans Pelicans have hired Joe Dumars, and an edict has been delivered to Joe Dumars and for the future of the New Orleans Pelicans. With it next here on Danny and Dusty, Tenny the Fan. New Orleans Pelicans have made their decision on their new general manager. Replacing David Griffin is Mr. Two Phones himself, Joe Dumars.
This should go well.
Yeah, a team that might end up with a top four overall pick. The last time he had one of those, he drafted Darko Milicic instead of Carmelo Anthony. Imagine Carmelo Anthony on the Bad Boy, or not the Bad Boys Pistons, but the Billups Pistons. Good Lord.
Yeah, that would have been good, but it also would have messed with their mojo because Tayshaun Prince would not have been playing. Isn't that crazy? Tayshaun Prince would have been the odd man out of that Pistons team. And the level of defense that he played, significantly better than Carmelo's.
Yeah, but also, we talk about it, scoring.
Hooper gonna hoop!
What would have been useful for them in that regard. But Shamit Dua, who does the In the Know website podcast for the Pelicans. He's one of the most plugged in non like ESPN guys in for the Pelicans. He had this to say yesterday. Since it looks like all the rumors are coming true, the final bit of intel I have in this whole situation is that ownership will mandate Dumars to keep Willie Green, which the Phoenix Suns are in pursuit of Willie Green to be their next head coach. They wanted to, I'll speak bluntly, they want a black head coach that relates better with the players. That's something that they're prioritizing, and a former player that can command a certain level of respect having done it before, which is why Chauncey Billups' name came up in the past and has and was before he was extended, and why Willie Green is also on the list. Also, I think Willie's a pretty good coach.
Yeah.
But beyond that, this is the kicker. Keep Willie Green, trade Zion Williamson.
Boy. You want to talk about depressed trade asset.
It's improved from where it was,
but he still can't stay healthy.
And it's not even just the health.
He won't be able to stay healthy because he doesn't take care of himself. No. And he's shown time and time again he is not set on being a professional. He is at a point now where he should be a seasoned veteran in the NBA, mm-hmm. taking care of his body, making his health the number one priority. He has not done that at any turn of his career. He continually gets hurt. Now, is his health or his injuries as significant as they have been in years past? No, but he still gets hurt. That is a problem.
If I told you that Zion Williamson isn't 25 until this summer, would you believe me?
Yeah, I would, because he came in at 19 years old.
It's crazy to think about, though. Just how it feels like forever, and it hasn't been that much time because COVID, injuries, everything that's gone wrong with the Pelicans. And it's not just the injuries of Zion. It's the off-the-court stuff. And look, I don't need every player on my team to be a saint, and asking for that is hard. To be fair, the Blazers have about as close to that as you can get. The guys that keep their nose clean, that don't find themselves in trouble with even minor things, really. The latest one with Zion is a former ex-girlfriend showed up at his current girlfriend's house and threatened to cut her head off.
Oh, well.
And that's after the adult film star stuff with Mariah. Like, the guy attracts just the dumbest possible things.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a maturity situation.
Yeah, that it is a maturity situation, but like, you can't control somebody being crazy.
And their proclivities.
You know, I mean, like,
you can manage them.
Yeah. Yeah. I tend to give him a pass on that one. But at the same time, when all the things start adding up.
That's the thing. It's the addition of. It's not just the injuries. It's that and more. And look, this is the, I think this is the first, like, public sentiment that we've gotten of this. The Pelicans have been trying to trade Zion Williamson for 2 years.
Yeah. And now it's a mandate.
Yeah. Now it's, which, what does that do to his value? And I know there's Blazers fans right now, oh, they should do it.
Mm-mm. Joe Dumars is about to trade for Bradley Beal.
Oh, God.
A team Joe Dumars is about to trade for Bradley Beal.
A team that has had interest in Zion, and it's because they've had a hole at that kind of small forward position, and they've looked at other players on the Pelicans, is the Cleveland Cavaliers. And in the past, they've considered trading Jared Allen and something for Brandon Ingram because they wanted to get longer, mm-hmm. they wanted to get more physical, have more scoring burst out of that. They did patchwork this year with DeAndre Hunter, which has proved to be pretty good for them. But I would watch the Cavs as a team that might be looking at Zion because they're in the window of risk it for the biscuit. They're in a title window.
Boy, that's a big swing.
It is.
That's
but it's also
a big swing.
It's not the biggest swing because you're not going to have to give up Donovan or Darius.
Yeah. Well, there is that. So. How much is he making?
35?
Oof.
I think that's right.
Yikes.
I think so. Let me double check. I think it's 35, which in the grand scheme of things is not. I think it's actually his big contract kicks in. Yeah, no, he's 36. 36. Which, for a 25-year-old, isn't that much when you just take away everything else.
But
you have to factor in everything else. Right. But I believe only 30 or 40% of his contract is guaranteed. There's so many outs for weight and injury and everything else. So it's also, there's a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Oh, good.
So,
you got
it's,
that
again,
for you.
It's not the biggest risk. All right. Coming up in hour number two, there's a couple different things that we haven't gotten to yet. There's the play-in. You want to go play-in now? You don't want to go play-in? How about we pivot back to some college football? Because there's a ton of news and notes coming out of college football. We'll get that next year in Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.